Good morning, George Watkins here on this beautiful Tuesday with a good word from God and an encouragement for you. Thanks for joining me. It is a privilege. Say that three times fast early in the morning to be with you and to have this opportunity to talk about heaven, heavenly things, heavenly realms, spiritual stuff. When we do that, we begin to communicate on a level altogether different than the human frame thinks about, the human mind, because we are elevated or taken up into that realm called the realm of the Spirit, realm of the Spirit of God. Now, the New Age, the New Agers have a language and words that are mystifying and seem to be heavenly and seem to be spiritual. But the connection is not there because they have not connected through Jesus Christ to the Father. You and I that have done that and we have made ourselves part of that heavenly heavenly company by identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ and stepping into and receiving what he has done for us, then our ability to communicate heavenly things is altogether different. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit today. Beyond human language, what it means and how Paul describes some of these things. Before I do, thank you for all the things you do to support us, subscribing and sharing and liking and giving comments. All those things seem to have an effect on this internet thing. So if you haven't done that, do it. If you've done it, just make sure it's connected again. Okay. All right. Well, this thought dropped in my heart today, and we're going to talk about some of the simplicities of what it means to have a heavenly language. There's a chapter in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians where Paul makes that reference to he knew a man that went to the third heaven. Now, obviously, we all believe it was him, but he didn't want to come out and describe it too much in detail because I suppose, and I think I'm right in supposing this, that God didn't give him permission. He was very sensitive about that. Things that he could not talk about because they were not legal in that situation. But in the second chapter, and I've got my mirror Bible open here. In the second chapter, he talks about a person was translated into the third heaven. Now, here's an interesting caveat on this. I don't know, he said, I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. That's how powerful these encounters and these experiences are. If you haven't done it, you need to tune in to some of the men and women in this day that are in what we call, or what they call, the world of the mystics, the mystical world. Now, to the average churchgoer and to many of the theologians, that is it's a foreign word, sure, but it's almost an illegal word. They say and they indicate that it is out of bounds and it is weird and don't go in there. But if you understand the scriptures, you know that the mysteries that Paul talks about is that mysterion. That's the Greek word, or is the mysterion. It means the mysteries of God. And this is what you and I are involved in. We're involved in mysteries. You talk to someone and refer to talking to God, hearing the voice of God, being led by the Spirit. That's not common language. That's spooky to them. So it is with many that are good brothers and sisters and love the Lord, but they have not come to an understanding that there is a language that is beyond human. One of the things that bonds a people and, you know, makes a community what it is common language. Daniel Webster, who wrote and put together the Webster's Dictionary, that really was the standard dictionary for many, many, many years, decades. He spoke 26 different languages, and he wanted the whole world to understand English because that was going to be the communication that the message of Christ would go around the world with. That was his passion, because he knew if we could communicate the language, we could communicate the message. Think about that. So that illustration in the Old Testament, that huge experience of those that were trying to become, go into a spiritual world where they weren't invited, and they were pressing in to try to find another dimension. God said, if they keep doing this, they're going to be able to do it. So he divided or confused their language, and it stopped the work and divided the people. Language. Now, we could go to a simple illustration of that in our political scene today. Two Americans facing each other that do not understand each other's language. I don't mean the articulation of nouns and verbs and adjectives. I'm talking about the attitude and the meaning of it. We talk about something that we really believe in, and they're hearing prejudice and racism and, you know, all those buzzwords. Language is so important, but here we go. Now, God gave us. Now, he goes on to say in this 12th chapter, let me finish this off. Only God knows whether it was in the body or out of the body. It does not matter. This person was caught up into paradise. There he heard words that could not be articulated into language beyond human. It was beyond human language. He understood a conversation that did not originate in human thought. Whoa, that's heavy stuff. Okay, what does it mean? To me, to you, you know, just loving, wonderful, excited Christians. What does it mean to us? Well, we go then into Paul's teaching, and he talks about a language that cannot be uttered without the Holy Spirit. Groanings, he talks in one place, didn't know how to speak it, so he just groaned it out. So we go to the book of Acts, second chapter, and when the Holy Spirit came, it gave a language. Paul referred to this. You remember he said the language of men and the language of angels. So there's a difference between the two. But in order for us to speak angel language or heavenly language, the Holy Spirit came and gave us the ability to speak in the language of the angels. It's referred to as other tongues in the book of Acts. When they came out of the upper room, they spoke, and 3,000 people or thousands of people heard them. And they were from every nation under heaven. They'd come to Jerusalem for a convocation or something. And they heard them in their own language. It's a lot of battering back and forth, bantering, I should say, back and forth. On what does that mean? Does that mean they spoke the language or they heard it in their ear when they were speaking heavenly language? All right. Well, we've had a lot of examples of men and women of faith and boldness going into foreign nations. Nancy Cohen, if you've not ever tuned her up on Facebook or YouTube, rather, powerful woman of God that's gone into all kinds of nations. And it's not uncommon for her to go into a tribal nation and speak in other tongues, and they hear her in a heavenly language. And sometimes to be able to speak their language from a gift that God gives. Many ways it works. So, this non-human language then comes out in the book of Acts, and we speak, Paul says, we speak mysteries, and we're speaking to God. He that speaks in tongues is speaking to God. I often get a chuckle out of that when people get nervous about us all speaking together in a Pentecostal charismatic gathering where everybody's just speaking out in tongues. They get real nervous because how can God understand everything? Well, he does, because we're speaking to him. And then there's the, the discussion, well, you shouldn't speak in tongues unless you interpret. Well, I'm not speaking to you or the congregation. I'm speaking to God. And then there's the times we speak to the congregation. And here's here's the sweet side of this thing. When he gave us that heavenly language, he gave us the key called interpretation of language. So there's this part of the giftings that we have. Tongues and interpretation are a team. They play together. They work together. And Paul said, if you're going to speak in tongues, give an interpretation. So you can do that. I think it's cool when Oral Roberts wrote in one of his books, he said, I think he had about 46 or 7 things that he did in his ministry that God gave him to do. Projects, ministries, things that he built or things he did. And all of them came by his speaking in tongues in prayer and then interpreting his own language, his own tongue. Now, most of us who have ministered or have been in a Pentecostal charismatic service where we've given a tongue, we're relying on someone else to come up and bat that thing home with a interpretation. And until we mature a little bit, we don't realize we can interpret what we speak out. Heavenly language, language of angels. Isn't that powerful? So today, on this Tuesday morning, if you haven't come into that place where you have that free flow of heavenly language, let the Holy Spirit baptize you. Now, the word baptize here has the picture of you sitting in the front bow of a boat, and you're going through the waves of the lake or the ocean, and as the boat dips, comes up again, the water comes and overwhelms you. Now, if you want to be a little more modern than that, let's go on the log ride at Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm and be the first guy in the car. You will be baptized. That means to be overwhelmed with water. In that, you're baptized. So when the scripture talks about baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are overwhelmed with water. And as the scripture talks about the fact that the tongue can be a controlling agent that steers the person just like a rudder and a bridle in the horse's mouth. So you and I, if our tongue is not submitted to the Holy Spirit, we can say things that will guide our life and change the direction that God gave us to be and who we are. So when the Holy Spirit comes, we not only speak in another language, but it adjusts our whole system to where when we articulate in our earthly language, we are saying the same thing God says about us. When we say, I'm a failure, I'm no good, I'm just a dirt clod, that's not heavenly language. That's not heavenly revelation. You didn't have that revelation from God. That's coming out of your own flesh and your background and your abuse But when the Holy Spirit comes and overwhelms us, then our tongue begins to say what the Word of God says. And that is, we are born anew with a new name. We have a new family. We have a new DNA. We sit in heavenly places. We walk by faith. We are eternally alive. We will never die. I like to say that just to stir you up. So you'll search out some of these things on eternal life. You are eternally alive. So quit trying to die all the time. Amen. All right. Well, we've gone far enough today. I think I've revved up the engine. All right. Father, I'm just going to release a decree today that we're stepping into a new realm called the language of heaven. And we commit ourselves today to speak God's words and to hear his voice. Amen. Okay. Thank you for your support. Thank you. If God's nudged you, you feel an impression, that's the nudging of the Lord to send us a financial blessing. You can do that through PayPal and through our address below. We really appreciate it. Keeps gas in our tank and we get to go down the road happy. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. And remember, the words you say make a big difference in the direction you take.